You're listening to The Lonely TARDIS Season 2, Episode 10, your weekly journey through Time Lords and space, where we discuss all things Doctor Who related. I am your host, Dolly Domofsky. Also joining me, other host, Stephen Strum.
That's me.
And not Sean Norton this week. Sorry, Sean.
Another Norton-free radio episode.
Norton. You're listening to Norton-free radio, the Norton antivirus.
This is a wolf pack coming at you live from KWDVVXFM.
WTRDS.
Keep it locked. Oh, oh!
Stephen and Dolly in the morning. All right, we have just the two of us this week.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try.
Just the two of us.
You and I.
You and I.
Oh, nice, deep, sexy baritone voice, Stephen.
Oh, yeah. I've got a baritone like you wouldn't believe. It's barely possible.
You're a bit of a bear man, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I am naked, and I am a large gay man, what he was getting at.
I know, I was just saying that you're from North Dakota, and you're half bear.
Okay. That's different.
Crazy psycho. Anyways, this week we're going to talk a little bit about the Rings of Akaten, which was the latest episode of Doctor Who, just aired past Saturday.
Want to dive right into it?
Let's just dive right in. We're going to do a little bit of a shorter episode. We are short on time, but we wanted to discuss
and
this.
Short on Norton.
And short on Norton. We did want to discuss this, though. I'll do a really quick, speedy recap here. So here we go. This episode takes place right after last week's Doctor Who episode, which was the Bells of St. John. Starts off with the Doctor trying to figure out exactly what that leaf was. So he goes back in time, comes to find out that leaf was what brought Clara's mother and father together. Leaf hit her father in the head when he was trying to walk across the street, and her mother saved him from getting hit by a car, and that started their relationship, blah, 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 blah. And Clara has been keeping the leaf with her the entire time. So shows back up at her doorstep. They go on a wild adventure to this planet known as Akaten, or I guess the planet's Akaten or whatever.
It was the system, I believe it's called.
The system.
Akaten, like eight planets in the system.
Yeah, seven.
Some such numbers.
Seven planets, yep, because there were seven rings. And they kind of hop in right in the middle of a festival that's taking place. Rescue.
Which I just want to say, at that festival, holy crap, was that some great character design on all of this stuff in the background.
It was essentially the scene from the Star Wars cantina with all the different aliens walking around. That was essentially this Doctor Who scene.
It's funny you should say that, because I was watching it actually. I had gone back to my parents' place off with a weekend just for chits and giggles, and ended up watching it with my mom, and that was exactly what she said. Is she said that, "Oh, this looks like Star Wars."
And it was and we'll get to that for sure. Because I definitely think there were influences there. But Clara bumps into this little girl who is the Queen of Years, I think is what they...
Queen of Years or Princess of Years?
Queen of Years. And she has to sing to the sleeping god.
Grandfather.
This grandfather who is this mummy kind of in a sealed temple.
Glass chamber, on a floating little...
asteroid pyramid thing, yeah. And so... she was nervous. Clara helps her through it. She sings to this asteroid god grandfather thing. Something goes wrong. He begins to wake up. She gets sucked into the temple that this guy is in. He breaks free. The Vigil show up very briefly, who are this kind of new, very silence-like enemy.
Weirdly enough, they are, you know, thus they are very much like the Silence in like terms of like the way they look and kind of act a little use sound waves as weapons and things like that. And they're constantly whispering as they're walking around, which is a little bit neat, I guess.
Doctor and Clara come to rescue her. What's that? Doctor.
You can keep going.
And Clara takes her back to the planet that they were on beforehand, or the asteroid they were on, wherever it was they were beforehand, and Doctor battles this giant beast, which was the actual god Akaten. Essentially, it was the sun, was this living soul-sucking creature that was sucking the souls and used the mummy in the glass chamber thing as sort of an alarm clock that was linked to it. Very kind of a weird set of layers there. And eventually the doctor wins out by telling the soul-sucking sun beast that if you want to suck anybody's soul, suck mine. It's full of thousands of years of memories. I know everything there is from the universe. Please take my memories and just try to deal with it.
Can't handle the truth.
Literally a you can't handle the truth. And almost gets to there, but not quite. The beast hasn't filled up yet till Clara comes roaring back on a moped, literally a flying moped, and takes out the leaf and says, this leaf isn't just a leaf. This is the most important leaf in human history because it's not just the story that's behind it, but the story that could have been when her mother was her mother died prematurely, before her time, I guess you could say. And so it's all the stories that could have come from this.
Very angels-like, being angels.
Yes.
Where it's like, choke on all of this potential energy.
Yes.
All the stolen moments. Yeah.
And the beast succumbs to this, all the potential moments, the potential future memories, and is vanquished, and everybody lives happily ever after. The doctor flies back with Clara, back to her time, and that is that. And so that is this week's episode. And now our
crazy, like, end of episode stinger this time, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And that's a really great point. There wasn't a huge stinger. Now, we did find out finally what this leaf was. I'm actually surprised they wrapped it up that quickly.
Yeah. Because
usually the stuff, and Sean made a good point last week, he gets bummed out when mysteries kind of last forever, and it looks like he got through a couple mysteries right away.
To be fair, it was a mystery that he just set up in the previous episode. But,
right, correct. Know. Correct, but it could have been one that lasted the entire second half of the season, which is what Stephen Moffat is wont to do.
I feel like that's giving credit for mopping up his own mess.
Yeah,
so
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly. But there were some the other mystery was Claire's parents. We never really kind of find out why she was what happened to her mother in that prequel and so forth, and now we know. One of the things that I found really interesting right at the beginning when they arrive on this planet, she says, "Have you ever been here?" And doctor says, "Yeah, actually I have been one time. I came here with my granddaughter." And Claire kind of gets taken aback, and she runs after the doctor. I think the doctor had run off somewhere to ask him about, you know, what he actually meant, but by then that had disappeared. However, this idea of grandfathers kept popping up throughout this episode. Mm-hmm. And the doctor is even there's a couple scenes where he's wearing his glasses down on his nose as he's reading paperwork and reading an invitation to this gala, you know, sing-along event, the festival event they're doing, where it's very grandfather-like, which I found very
absolutely
interesting.
Not a coincidence, yeah.
Yes, definitely not a coincidence. A lot of grandfather talk here, again, goes all the way back to that very first Doctor Who series with William Hartnell, where he was the grandfather to his initial companions, but very interesting.
His initial one companion.
Yes. His granddaughter, yeah.
Susan Foreman, I believe is
yes.
her name.
Yep. So yeah, very interesting take on that whole idea, and a lot of family. This was very family focused, and we saw things with Rose in the first couple seasons that were, you know, obviously she was very close to her mother. And there were a lot of things that took place with her family and her father and so forth. But this was an instant shot in the arm of what Clara's family is. I thought that was kind of interesting. A lot of family-based things.
Yeah. So that puts me in a mind to think that, okay, we're figuring out the big bads of this season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not necessarily big bads, but the big arc. And I've got to think that this is either going to mean that we're going to be dealing with some, you know, Doctor Who's, or the Doctor's family specifically kind of stuff. Maybe a return of Jenny in the, either in this season or the, 50th anniversary. Or B, it's referencing the idea of the 9 and 10, Doctors 9 and 10 and stuff being his family and stuff like that, I think. There's a good possibility that this is going to tie into some familial stuff later down the line, especially One thing that seemed very, very interesting to me was how just easily the doctor dropped the line about it, his granddaughter,
yeah,
which is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, with in front of Clara, which generally speaking, in the past, he has been very reluctant to talk about even the slightest bit of information about his family and stuff like that. But it's put me in a mind. I'm thinking that maybe means that he feels comfortable around her, even though if he doesn't really know why. So I'm wondering if maybe Clara is actually his related to him familially somehow, like by blood. Maybe she is Jenny or something like that.
Yeah.
Or Jenny. Maybe she is Jenny's daughter, and that it would explain why she's coming back to life and stuff.
And why the whole grandfather thing seems to click. Yeah, yeah.
Grandfather, yeah. So he would technically be her grandfather. So if that, I mean, somehow it feels like that episode with Jenny in it was such a throwaway episode in so many other ways except for Jenny's existence. But and the other thing too, if you remember, Jenny, when she regenerated, she looked exactly the same when she regenerated. So if Clara inherited that ability, like it would make sense why Clara was coming back to life, looking the same. Maybe.
And she, this is the first episode she didn't die. Did you notice there was no death, which I thought that we were going to have up until now, all three appearances of Clara, she has died in some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode, she did not. Yeah. So this breaks the idea that, I don't know if it was me or you or Sean, that she was going to die every episode. She was going to be the Kenny.
I think it was Sean.
Was it Sean? But so that's kind of an interesting thing. It's a really good point that you're putting in there. I think, one of the things that Stephen Moffat's doing, I actually do think that Moffat might be closing his own loop on Doctor Who, and doing so, I think he's doing all this because now you're starting to see, we had the Great Intelligence last week, and we had it during the Christmas episode. We had references to his daughter or his granddaughter this episode. I think what Stephen Moffat is doing is now bringing those links back all the way back to that original Doctor Who. Maybe this is what's going to happen in that 50th anniversary. You've already kind of talked about some of the things you're doing there. But the links, obviously UNIT is back. We saw the Brigadier Marshall Stewart or whatever his name is.
Lethbridge
Stewart. Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart, his granddaughter or his daughter. UNIT is back now. So it does seem like he's closing the loop a lot on a lot of these, at least, current to classic Doctor Who isms, you know, so he's kind of bringing Doctor Who full circle, tying it back into that original stuff so that maybe the 50th anniversary is going to be this point in time where, and I hate to jump around a little bit topic wise, but maybe the 50th anniversary is going to be this point where it's a fresh start to the Doctor because all of the kind of the big loops of obviously, from 2005 on, the Doctor's story has kind of deviated from this that initial classic Doctor Who. So maybe this is just a way of getting back to that. And maybe these are the steps leading up to it.
Sure. Episode overall, I wanted to point out one other thing that I want to give my general sort of idea of the show was basically, I thought it was a fun kind of wild episode. I think that the family stuff is going to tie in more than we initially might think just upon seeing it, because it is kind of just an adventure-y, fun little episode. I will say that I thought the Vigil were totally wasted.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
They are such a cool-looking design. And that's kind of a running thing throughout, not just this episode, but a lot of Doctor Who is like they introduce a lot of background stuff and then never do anything.
A lot of Stephen Moffat episodes recently. Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
What was the one last season where they had like the hunter, the guy that was the there was actually a couple episodes where there was the dude in the who's kind of hunting, was it like a hunting humans or hunting Time Lords or something, and Doctor kind of showed up in a spaceship at the last second to, I can't remember which episode it was.
I don't even know what you're talking about, so whatever.
Yeah, there you go. First half of the season. He's been doing that a lot this year.
And the Ultramancer, that like robot thing that he was talking to at one point. Just all that side stuff, it looks so great and he doesn't really do anything with it, which in a movie or something like Star Wars, it makes sense because you only have so much time. But with a TV show, it's like you want to use up like that kind of stuff as much as possible to, you know, cut down on costs and all kinds of stuff. But It was kind of a little bit of a bummer to see, especially the Vigil, because they propped
Yeah,
them up
yeah.
and then they only show up in two
Two
scenes
scenes, that's it. Yep. And you don't even
and
know
they
what they're
never do
there
anything.
for. You don't even know what they're there
Yeah.
for. It's, yeah,
The
they're
only thing
meant.
I can think is the only thing I can think is that maybe they will show up again at some other point in the future.
Don't
Maybe there's
know.
some kind of running thread for them, but otherwise they just if they are just like, the Family of Bloods scarecrows or something of this episode, what a waste.
You know, but exactly. Although the scare, I found the scarecrows to be much more interesting than the Vigil, at least how they were executed. The
Well,
Vigil
yeah, the
had,
scarecrows had a
yeah,
payoff.
the scarecrows had a payoff. The Vigil in two scenes, and then they just disappear. And the doctor says,
Literally.
"Well, yeah, well, they're not, they weren't needed anymore." What a
Yeah,
way to
that was
brush
interesting. What
off
the
a
hell?
cool, and I mean, it's almost like what he did to the Silence with us, because the Silence were such a great enemy, and they could have been a brand
Yeah,
new.
don't. The Silence, don't worry about them. They're not even. Silence is actually the religion, so don't even worry about that. It's like, what the hell? Or like the I think it was last season, the doll people and stuff like that. It's just like that they were creepy ass looking enemies, and then it was just like, it's just like a figment of the kid's imagination, so don't worry about it. It's never coming back again. It's just like, well, make it come back again. Like
Make it
you
come
do a lot
back,
of visual stuff, and then yeah, and then you do nothing with them. But oh well. But that's not that's overall. I thought the episode.
You know what I found actually kind of interesting was
I think the episode.
one really interesting thing to note is the when Clara tries to get back into the TARDIS. And she runs up to the door and tries to open the door, but it's locked. And then she looks up, and the TARDIS kind of makes this sound that I think she actually steps back and says, "Huh, I don't think it likes me," which is very, that's a very telling little detail.
Yes, and I was immediately put into mind of the way the TARDIS ran away from Captain Jack in season three.
It's an interesting thing to note, and something that we'll have to just kind of keep an eye on. There's some sort of link between this new TARDIS or this TARDIS and Clara, so something to keep in mind. So Steven gives it a 3 out of 5. I give it a, I'm gonna give it a, I'm gonna, it's tough to say this. I'm gonna give it a 2.5 out of 5. It wasn't as great as I thought it was going to be. And I had some issues, obviously, with some of the storytelling. Sean didn't give me a score this week, so he will have to wait till next week. Maybe we'll get him to recap this episode as well. That's basically it, folks. We had to do a quick little cut there, but we're back, and yeah, that's essentially it. We will see everybody this coming weekend during the next episode of the wonderful TV show known as Doctor Who, and we'll do a podcast probably right after. See you guys in the next episode. This is Dolly Dombowski. You can find me at Cool Rats, KEWLRATS. You can find Steven at Steven Strum, STE. Sorry about that, Steven. STEVENSTROM. And you can find Sean Norton at Sean Norton, SHAUN. NORTON. That's it, folks. You can find us at Lonely TARDIS. And please rate and review us on iTunes. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.